am Pastor Kerry Willis. I pray that your day is amazingly graced. We welcome you to this broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
I'm Grayson Willis, and thanks for joining us on the front porch today. We pray that today's broadcast will be a half hour of hope for your life.
What is the front porch all about? What are we talking about when we say front porch talks? Well, we believe that conversations about the good news that we find in the Holy Bible needs to be shared. And that really is all this program is about. We're not trying to prove anything. We're just trying to make sure that Jesus is promoted, that he is lifted up. And so Grayson and I are a father and son team. I'm the father, Kerry. He's the son, Grayson. And we used to have front porch talks. You know, it's a tad sentimental when I think about it, because we lived in the same home for 16 years as Grayson was growing up, especially through his middle school, high school years, even his college years. And we used to have a front porch on that house, a Victorian home, with a lovely wraparound front porch on the front. And we would go out there at all times of the year and just sit and have conversation about deep things, sometimes about shallow things, but we had communication. And so when we got ready to start this program back years ago, after Grayson had graduated from broadcast school at Mount Vernon Nazarene University up in Ohio, and we decided that we ought to work together in this ministry, it seemed that it was good to the Lord and good to us. We just naturally chose the title of the program to be Front Porch Talks, because that's who we are. So we're not giving to you anything that is artificial. What we talk about here are real topics, and we are just talking about them as real men. You know, Grayson is my son, but now that he's 30 years old, he really is my friend, and we are brothers in Christ. And so we pray that across the generations, from Grayson being in his 30s now and his dad in his 50s, let's just leave it there. I just want you to know that this program is about bringing good talk into our walk, making sure that we get the words of Jesus proclaimed, and we talk those words through very practical life situations. So welcome to Front Porch Talks. And we do believe that hope happens here, because it's not just Grayson and myself. We really claim the scripture where Jesus said that when you come together in my name, two or three of you, I am there in the midst of that gathering. And so Grayson, we are here, there are two of us, and we know that the promise of Jesus is to join us during these front porch talks. And if Grayson and I were to go back, we could give you instances throughout our programming where the Lord has just come and moved into the studios we're recording and given us thoughts that were not our own. Just a few days ago, I said to someone, I said, never mistake human brainstorming for the mind of Christ. And so what we're hoping is that we're not just doing human brainstorming when we're on this program, Front Porch Talks, but the mind of Christ is actually speaking to us and through us, and that you will be moved toward hope as a result of this experiment called Front Porch Talks. Now today we're going to do part two of a session we began last Sunday. We've been talking about praying through the Psalms. And I talked about there was a certain day when we were staying at Grayson's house during our transition between homes, my wife and I kind of moving across town, not leaving Harrisonburg, but just changing zip codes by one digit, that I was out at Grayson's home, and he has a townhouse that has a kind of a side yard with trees, good shade, and a table and a chair there. And during this week, when we were there at his home, I took a day and I went out and I just saturated in the Word of God for hours. I really needed the rest. Our life was a little bit in turmoil from transition, a little bit of weariness from moving and packing and all the details that go along with that. And in that day, the Lord just met me there in the shade of those trees as I had the Word of God open to the Psalms of the Old Testament, written mostly by David, King David, the shepherd boy who became the monarch of Israel, but some psalms written by others. But as I was there, I just began to do what has been my practice for a long time, and that is not to just read the psalms, but to pray the Psalms. Now, last session, we kind of worked through some Psalms, the early Psalms, and we kind of got through Psalm 21. We don't have any rhyme or reason to how we're sharing. I'm just sharing with you the things that the Lord spoke to me and the things I spoke to Him as I read the Psalms that day under the shade tree. So welcome again to the front porch, and the talk now officially begins. In Psalm 22, there is a verse toward the end of that chapter. It's verse 30. And it says this in the New Living Translation of God's Holy Word. Our children will also serve Him. Future generations will be told about the wonders of the Lord. Now, our studio is at the church where I pastor, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. And we're sitting above the foyer of our church, the old foyer. We have a couple additions here, and we're building a new Hope Distributed building now for our food bank and for our clothes closet and furniture distribution, our Compassionate Ministries. But Grace and I are sitting in the building that was dedicated in 1999. And my office, which serves as our studio now, and Grayson's broadcast and editing room, sits right above the old foyer. And right outside the old foyer, there's a cornerstone. When we built this building in 1999, we moved from Roosevelt Street in Harrisonburg, where the church had been established in 1951. And in 1999, we relocated the campus here to 1871 Boyers Road. And when we did, we put a cornerstone in the building. And the cornerstone that we put in the building has this scripture on it. Future generations will be told about the Lord. Now, that's the NIV version of what I was reading just a moment ago in the New Living Translation, Psalm 22 and verse 30. Our children will also serve Him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. And so as I was writing on this day, praying the Psalms, my heart was taken back to 1999 when we put that cornerstone in its place. And I want you to know, friends, that we must have a vision like this, that future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. Dr. James Dobson, who I worked with for about 3.5 years in Colorado Springs when I was studying the Bible there in Bible College at Nazarene Bible College. Grayson was just a little fella back then. But Dr. Dobson said this. He said, we are always just one generation away from godlessness, from losing God in our lives. And so how important when the psalmist writes these words that we pray these words, yes, amen, so be it, David. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will hear about everything He has done. Then we move into the psalm that by far is the most popular of all of the psalms of David. That is the 23rd psalm. And we're going to look at that for just a moment and just read through it. Listen closely as I put the accent on the pronouns. I don't know if you've ever read the 23rd Psalm and put the accent on the pronouns, but let me read it now from the New Living Translation of the Holy Bible. Listen to how I hear and how I pray this psalm back to the Father, this psalm that David gave to us. And it doesn't just need to be read, it needs to be prayed, and it's very personal. It's a very personal psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, Your house, forever. How personal, how beautiful. I just wrote out in the page of this scripture in my own Bible, Jesus, my shepherd. And I pray today that you know Him in a very personal way. I believe when David wrote that 23rd Psalm, one reason it became so glorious to multitudes who have come behind David is because of how personal it is and how we can see ourselves as that little lamb that the good shepherd, Jesus Christ himself, is holding close to his heart. This is the story of Psalm 23. I moved on to Psalm 24 during my reading, and I came to this line in Psalm 24 and verse 8. It's really a question. Who is the King of Glory? You know, sometimes we just need to write answers out in our Bible page, I believe. We ought to answer some questions when they're asked. And I wrote out beside this question, who is the King of Glory? I just wrote, Jesus is my King, exclamation point, and I drew a crown there. Grayson, when you think about the personal relationship that we can have as subjects of the kingdom of God, we can know King Jesus personally. We can know him as our shepherd. We can know him as our king. What kind of thoughts might you want to share in testimony?
Well, to think about him being the king, that means he's the ruler of our lives, but also the Bible says that we're his children if we've accepted him into our hearts. So that makes us part of his royal family. That makes us princes and princesses of the king and heirs to the throne. So just think about that. And certainly our inheritance is greater than any other, and that's eternal life. And also we have eternal life that can begin today. It doesn't have to begin when we die, but it begins today.
Yes, sir. Knowing him is eternal life. We read that from the words of Jesus in John chapter 17. To know the Father and the Son is to have eternal life. And so, Grayson, that's a great echo of a point we've made often here on Front Porch Talks. And that leads me really into the next line of the psalm in Psalm 25 that spoke so deeply to me during this particular day when I was under the shade with the Word of God and just saturating and praying back the psalms that David had penned, praying them back to the same God he had written them to. And here is the line in Psalm 25 and verse 1, O Lord, I give my life to you. And what I wrote out beside that was this, because you first gave your life for me, Lord, I give my life to you. Because you first gave your life for me, Lord, I now give my life to you. What a beautiful line. And then in chapter 25, or Psalm 25, and verse 4, it says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. And I wrote beside that, Jesus, you are my path. You see, a path is not a place. A path is a face. And Jesus is a person, and he is the path. He said that he was the way, and he is our way home. He is our way forward, our way onward, our way upward. Jesus, in right relationship with him, we shall find our way home. He is the narrow gate. And the narrow gate is that we must know him in relationship. Because apart from knowing Jesus in relationship, we're always on the wrong path. We're always headed in the wrong direction. But as we come to know him, we will come to know the Father. And the Holy Spirit will make sure that we find our way, the right way, the righteous way, on the highway of holiness that leads us home. And so this is such a beautiful, beautiful way to remember the Psalms, is not just to read them, but to pray them. I was also reading in Psalm 25 and verse 9, he leads the humble in doing right. I went out beside that line and I wrote these words, Lord, I want to be always humble so as to be and do right. I want to be always humble, gentle, open, so as to be and do right. You know, I wrote today on my Twitter account, I wrote this idea. Acting kind and being kind are quite unlike. So what I'm saying is, when I pray this prayer, I want to be always humble so as to be and do right. I don't just want to act humble. I want to be humble. I don't just want to act kind. I want to be kind. I don't want to just act open. I want to be open. And so this is the prayer. It's not just in doing, it is in being. But as we are being right, we can be found doing right. And this is my echo when I look at the prayer that David prays. He leads the humble in doing right. There was another verse in this particular psalm, Psalm 25, verse 18. Really touched me deeply. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. I wrote beside that, wow, exclamation point. And I prayed this prayer in response to David's prayer. Lord, not only do you forgive all my sins, you also feel my pain and see my trouble. Thank you, I said. Thank you. I just wrote it in my Bible. So Grayson, when you hear this idea that God feels your pain, he sees your trouble, he forgives all your sins, what might that bring to light in your own thought process?
Well, it just makes us realize that, you know, Jesus lived here on this earth and he understands our pain and our trouble and our suffering. And also he's our creator. So nobody understands us better than he does, not even us. We don't even understand ourselves as good as he does. And he wants what's best for us even more so than we want for ourselves.
Exactly. I can hear the song right now. I want what you want more than I want anything. I want what you want for me. That's a chorus that I heard a few years back, and I've never been able to get it out of my mind, out of my prayer life. It has been very strong, and I'm grateful for the artist who penned those words. He actually sang it at our local church, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, during a banquet. And I can see him sitting on the piano, and I can hear him singing the song. And I really know his name, but you know, I am getting older, and I kind of struggle sometimes to remember who sung that song. But I saw him one day, months later, in the local coffee shop, Starbucks. I went in for a cup of coffee, and his name is Mandeville. Yes, Mandeville. That's the last name. And I went up to him and I asked him, I said, do you know what song of yours has been so meaningful for me? And he just looked at me a little puzzled. And I said, this is the song. And I didn't sing it to him, but I could have. The song again is, I want what you want more than I want anything. I want what you want for me. John Mandeville, that's his name. And I am grateful for John Mandeville for writing those lyrics. When I go to the Holy Land and I take one of our groups, Hearts of Flame, discipleship journeys there, we're planning another journey to the Holy Land in October of 2018. Lord willing, it'll be our 15th journey there. If you'd like to join us, you can contact us here at the church. We'll get some information to you. But John Mandeville doesn't even know it unless he's hearing this today. But I sing that song all through the Holy Land, especially in Gethsemane and places like that. And that's what Grayson was getting at, that we want what God wants because he knows what is best for us more than we know what is best for us. I came next to another passage, and the passage was in Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, we begin the psalm with these words, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid?" I wrote out beside these in prayer for myself. I'm journaling prayers on the pages of the Psalms in my Bible. And I wrote these words, the question, why fear? The answer, my God is here. There's another verse in Psalm 27 that speaks deeply to me. Psalm 4, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. And the reason I wrote this was because I pray with the psalmist in this way. I rejoice, God, because your presence is my inheritance now and forever. You are my Lord. And so the psalms are so powerful. We shouldn't just read them. We must pray them. In verse 7 of Psalm 27, the psalmist said, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. And I wrote out beside all of this, don't let me abandon you, Lord. And please don't abandon me ever. I pray. Amen. And so this sense is, as I said in part one of Praying the Psalms, lately I've had this idea where I talk to people, especially going through a difficult place in life, the Lord will not abandon his own. And I've learned from my own life, he will not abandon me either. And so these are the beautiful words that we find in Psalm 27. Also, I read verse 13, "Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." And I prayed on the side of this page, "Let all my waiting be one and the same with worshiping you, my God." Grayson, what might you have in reflection of those thoughts?
Well, Dad, in talking about waiting, sometimes that's the bravest thing we can do, is just trusting God and waiting for things to work out for his will instead of trying to make things happen. And the Bible says, good things come to those who wait patiently on the Lord. So certainly we want God's best for our life instead of trying to make things happen, which he'll allow us to do, but that'll be God's permissive will, not his best will. And we want what he wants for us, not just something that we're trying to make our will happen. We want his will to happen in our lives.
Grayson was paraphrasing Lamentations 3 and verse 25 when he said, "Good things come to those who wait." In God's Word translation, Lamentations 3:25 says this, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to anyone who seeks help from him." So we know that as those who belong to God, waiting for us should be turned into worship. And as we wait on him, we know that he will not forget us, will not abandon us, will not leave us. He is the God who can be waited on and depended on, no doubt whatsoever. The next place that I began to make some notes of my own prayers as I was reading through the Psalms was in Psalm 30. Psalm 30 has a verse or two that are very, very familiar. This also is a Psalm of David, Psalm 30. It's a song for the dedication of the temple, actually. And we have this in verse 5 of Psalm 30. It says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." And I think we've all heard that and used it at some point in our own lives as we've walked with the Lord. I wrote this prayer and even this confidence beside that verse in my own Bible. Temporary weeping will one day give way to eternal laughter. And I believe with all my heart that weeping will last through the night. And we are in the night while we're here on earth, but we have eternity where the joy is coming with a morning that never ends. We're going to a world where it's always sunrise. S-O-N-R-I-S-E. The Son of God will always be rising. We are going to that place where weeping and pain will have no place, but where joy and laughter will be everything. Sometimes I'm not totally convinced that we won't have a few tears in heaven, because I've had some joyful tears here on earth. You know, the scripture says in Revelation that once we are with God forever in his home, that he will wipe the tears from our eyes. Well, maybe he'll wipe them, but we'll just have them still. I want some tears, joyful tears, but there may be something more beautiful than tears in heaven, because God is preparing for us what we cannot imagine, because we love him, but mainly because he loves us. Another place where I made note in prayer as praying through the Psalms was Psalm 31 and verse 11. Now, this is a difficult psalm, not an easy one. Here's what the psalmist says and is praying to God. "Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they run the other way. I am ignored as if I were dead." You know, sometimes in ministry I've come to know, and even as just being a believer in Jesus, I have learned that it's very true that sometimes there is a burden of people not coming near you. Maybe you're too much salt, too much light in their life, and they would rather cross you on the other side of the street or run the other way or ignore you as if you were dead. But the sense is that that is a burden, but it is a glorious burden, because we do not want to cease being carriers of the presence of God. And so I say, bring it on if that's the price that we have to pay for being those that reflect Christ to the world. It can be sometimes quite burdensome, but it is always full of glorious blessing. I also went down to verse 15 in Psalm 31, and here's what the psalmist said. But I am trusting you, O God, saying, you are my God. My future is in your hands. And I just prayed like amen out beside this declaration, but I wrote it in two words, true, 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 true. You know, I've got a new line that I find myself using in the last 6 months or so. You know, we say things like praise the Lord and hallelujah, amen, so be it, let it happen. I've used all of that and will continue to use all of that to accent the truth. But what I've been saying lately out loud in the worship service on Sunday morning, when I see someone write a good article about Jesus or make a good point from the Word, I say these words, it's all true. It's all true. That's my new amen. That's my new hallelujah. It's all true. And so beside these words, but I am trusting you, O Lord, saying you are my God, my future is in your hands, I just wrote true, true, because it is so very true. The next place that I wrote anything out, any kind of prayer, was at Psalm 32 and verse 1. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. And I just put in big words with exclamation points, hallelujah, amen, or you could say, it's all true. I want to read that again. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Grayson, what do you want to say about some of these words the psalmist has penned and we have prayed?
Well, certainly if we live lives that are pleasing to God, we'll be filled with joy, which shouldn't be mistaken for happiness, because we can be joyful even when things aren't going right and aren't going good, just knowing that we have Jesus in our lives to help us get through whatever we're going through, and to know that our pain and suffering will only last for a time, and that it will soon pass, and that we will have eternal life one day, and that our pain and suffering will be over forever.
Hallelujah to all of that. It's all true, Grayson. It's all true. And I was reading a little bit further to accent what we're saying. I was reading down through Psalm 31 and came upon verse 20. You hide them, who? Those that belong to God. You hide them, you hide us in the shelter of your presence. And what a beautiful song we have. He hideth my heart in the depth of his love, one of the hymn writers said. And this is a beautiful psalm here. You hide them, you hide us, those of us who belong to you, O God. You hide us in the shelter of your presence. Hallelujah, amen. I just wanted to back up to that, because it is a beautiful thing to be forgiven by the God whose presence in whom we hide. It is a beautiful thing that he has thrown our record away and given to us redemption. All our guilt is gone. And he is guiding us, the psalmist says in verse 8 of Psalm 32, he is guiding us along the best pathway for our lives. And I wrote this out beside that. Jesus, you are the life, my life. Help me to trust you and obey you all the way. We want to continue to obey him all the way. Well, we need to bring this broadcast to a screeching halt. It's really wonderful to get into the eternal things of God. It's hard to stop once your heart gets pumping and thinking about the presence of God and how we have that inheritance as our own. And we can pray to a God who hears and cares. This is what today's program has been about. I pray that it would enhance your prayer life and you will pray the Psalms along with Grayson and myself. You know, we may return to this little series a little bit in the future, but we've given you two parts, last Sunday and this Sunday, praying the Psalms, and I pray that it'll be very practical. Most of all, we pray as always that this has been a half hour of hope for your life. May the God of all glory be yours once and for all and for all time. Blessings.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.